We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, his name is Benjamin Albright. He's an NFL insider, hosts a radio show in Denver. He's one of our favorites. He joins us now. Benjamin, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you again.
As always.
Appreciate you.
So I wish the circumstances were a little better. Is Paxton Lynch done in Denver?
Well, that's kind of the overwhelming feeling here. There's certainly been an erosion of, you know, in support for him over the last about week or so within the, you know, within the front office, guys that have been stumping for him. He's really kind of got offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave in his corner. But other than that, outside of John Elway, most people want kind of want him gone. And then, of course, the game happened the other night, and it really just did a downward spiral. So,
was this doomed from the beginning? Because the idea from the beginning was that John Elway loved him and fell in love with him, and they obviously traded up to get him, but that Gary Kubiak was never on board. He didn't necessarily fit the system. He couldn't beat out Trevor Siemian. And now here we are 3 years into his NFL career. There's been a change, and maybe Vance Joseph isn't a big Paxton guy either. Was this in many ways doomed from the beginning, Benjamin?
I don't know if it was doomed from the beginning. I just think that the plan or whatever was conceived as a plan to develop him certainly wasn't roadmapped and followed very well. You mentioned the Gary Kubiak situation. That is true. Gary kind of had his guy in Trevor Siemian, and he spent that time trying to develop Trevor to the point where, he openly defied Elway in that final game of the season and played Trevor Siemian in the Raiders game when he was supposed to have played Paxton Lynch. Then you got Mike McCoy came in here last year, and he had no interest in developing a quarterback. Mike McCoy really didn't have interest in anything other than looking for his next job, which is why he was fired midseason. Bill Musgrave took Paxton under his wing, but he just hasn't been able to get Paxton to become the guy. Paxton still struggles post-snap. He's a guy that's kind of nervous. If his first read isn't there, his instinct is to take off and run. I think part of that is a byproduct of the system he played down in Memphis, which you can win with in college, but you kind of have to rewire yourself for the pro game, and he's just been unable to do that.
Yeah, how much of just his confidence, Benjamin? He looks like a guy that's scared to fail. To your point, it's always the first option, the closest option, the dump off, or just like you said, he's looking to run. How much it looks so unlike the guy we saw at Memphis. The guy we saw at Memphis had swagger. He was confident. This guy looks like he's lost it all, and I suppose that's part of not grasping the system.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think you've got a guy that isn't confident. His confidence is shot,
and
there's just no way to build it without getting quality, live, successful live reps, and he's been unable to replicate that. You know, they've been unable to put him in a position to do that. So, I will say this. I've been here at practice every day, and he has looked in no-pressure situations at practice. He looked better than Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly couldn't hit the broad side of the barn and hold the ball too long. But when the lights come on, Chad Kelly kind of gets that gamer mentality, and Paxton seems to wilt under pressure.
There used to be a conversation here in Memphis sort of as the college football program was taking off. Was it because of Paxton Lynch,
mm-hmm.
or was it because of Justin Fuente? And really, who makes who look good? I think we have our answer, right?
Well, with any story, there's three sides to it. You know, his, hers, and the truth. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think Paxton was a special athlete that happened to mesh well with Winter's system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that marriage together, kind of helped buoy that. I would say that maybe Fuentes had 60% impact and Paxton had 40, but, I would say that the combination of the two together is really what did it.
From what you've seen, Benjamin, is the commitment level there? You said he's looked better in practice. What about off the field from what you're hearing? Is the commitment level there? Is he off the video games and totally in the playbook and immersed?
Well, that's what everybody's been saying.
Right.
I certainly, if he has been online, he's changed his gamer tag because I haven't seen him online as much.
Were you guys friends?
Let's say that again. I'm sorry.
Were you guys friends on like online?
No, he just, his gamer tag was very well known, and
yep.
So those of us in the media would kind of check in on that and see him online quite a bit.
Wow.
So he's off, not on quite as much. Well, I guess that's a step forward, Benjamin.
Yeah, you gotta figure that's a step forward. So we're all rooting for him. Everybody
Absolutely.
Wants
we
to succeed. Nobody yeah. wants to fail, but you know, it's just one of those situations where people are kind of tired of the potential and ready to see that potential take root.
No doubt.
So, I mean, do you think? Listen, he's a first-round talent. I mean, the arm strength is there. We've all seen it. It's never materialized, obviously, in Denver. Do you think he gets another shot somewhere? You know, if and when he is cut, do you think somebody else takes a flyer on him? I got to assume if Christian Hackenberg can get a chance, then Paxton's got one somewhere.
Well, right, yeah, he'll absolutely get another shot somewhere. There's too much, there's too much there, and coaching hubris and ego being what it is, you know, somebody's gonna say, well, those guys couldn't get it done, but I can get it done, you know, and take a flyer on him and see if they can. Guys that are big and tall and have a big arm and athleticism like that, they get two or three chances, and so I think he'll get another chance somewhere. I'm not sure where. Looking around at the teams that loved him that draft, you know, Denver had given up on him. Kansas City already has their guy in Pat Mahomes, and you know, Dallas has got Dak Prescott. So, I don't know where it'll be, but he'll get another shot.
Benjamin, these rookie quarterbacks, let's look at them. Guy that looks the most ready to you, is it Baker Mayfield in Cleveland? Is it Sam Darnold who looked good? Who do you like best?
Well, I think Baker's probably the most ready, although he probably will be the last of the first rounders, maybe Lamar, to start simply because they have Tyrod Taylor there, and the team is going to go with Tyrod, early. Sam Darnold really impressed me, especially for not having as many reps in camp as everybody else. He came out there, he was sharp, shaved of Tony Romo on that touchdown play from inside the five. So I thought he looked really good. Josh Allen had some hits. He had some misses, which is kind of the story of his career. And then Josh Rosen, that offensive line is going to get that poor kid killed.
Ooh, yes, they are.
What goes into, I guess, because when you see quarterbacks at the college level, I mean, most of them put up big numbers. And Paxton was a guy, and I think you and I were in the same boat here, Ben. You know, I thought he was just going to be a star quarterback. Like, I just thought he could make every throw in the book, and then obviously it's just so different.
He's let you down.
When you get to the NFL. What sort of goes into the cauldron that makes a good NFL quarterback? Like, what do you have to have to be a great NFL quarterback?
Well, you got to have work ethic. That's number one. And then after you've got the work ethic, there's some innate skills you have to have. You have to be able to place the ball accurately. You have to be able to process the football field quickly. Those kinds of things. I think those are the two most, the two biggest traits. You've got to have quick feet, quick eyes, and a quick release. And if you've got those things and you've got a good work ethic, then then the sky's the limit. I had Paxton very high too. I actually had him as the second best quarterback in that class behind Carson Wentz. So, that's a big one for me.
I'm a Bears fan, Benjamin. What do I have in Mitchell Trubisky? Or is it just too early to tell?
Well, it's a little early to tell, but we've seen flashes. He's a good decision maker. He's accurate with the football. He needs the game to slow down for him a bit, and he's going to need some help on that offensive line. He was just in trouble, last year. But if they can develop a strong run game and then build off of that, he can be that guy. He's not a guy. He's never going to be the guy that you want to put the team on your back and quote unquote carry you. But he can win you football games, and if you've got a strong run game and a decent defense, you can make a Super Bowl.
Well, I'm hoping so.
We are, of course, talking to Benjamin Albright. He's an NFL insider, host of a radio show in Denver, on Twitter at Albright NFL. We're obviously here in Memphis and Tennessee, Benjamin. It feels like Marcus Mariota needs to take a step forward this year. They won a playoff game last year, and he certainly made some plays within it, but just across the board, his production is probably not where it needs to be at this juncture. Do you think that step forward happens this year with a new offensive coordinator and a new sort of coaching staff?
Well, I'll tell you this. There's no bigger fan of Matt LaFleur in the NFL than I am. I don't know how long you guys are going to be able to keep him there as he is your offensive coordinator. He'll be up for head coaching jobs very soon. I think he'll turn that thing around. He's going to design something that fits to Mariota's strength. And that's the thing. You know, you talk about guys that have systems, in the NFL all the time. But if you've got a guy with the raw talent of Marcus Mariota and he's not working within your system, it's your system that needs to be scrapped, not the quarterback.
What are the early sort of reviews for John Gruden? I mean, I know everybody seems to be very pessimistic about it. I think that might be also related to his $100 million guaranteed contract. What are the early reviews on John Gruden and his return to the NFL?
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I worked for Gruden for a year down in Tampa, so I think he's going to succeed. But, he's a guy that does things his own way. He comes from the old Bill Walsh school. He does things his own way. He doesn't really like to develop young guys. He prefers veterans. And so I think that people in this youth-obsessed football culture that we have now and getting younger and getting cheaper, him coming in and bringing in a lot of veteran free agents kind of goes against the grain. So you see a lot of people maybe deriding that, but I think he'll be successful. John's always been successful initially. It's sustaining that success that's always been his problem.
What did you do for John Gruden? What was your job title there?
I was a regional scout down there in Tampa.
Okay, gotcha.
What do you see in that division? Is it the Chargers to lose? Does Denver compete for a playoff spot? How do you think it plays out in the AFC West?
Well, before that Vikings drubbing, I would have said that Denver's probably in it for a wild card, and the Chargers probably have the division. I don't know that maybe I was overrating Denver just a little bit. I think Kansas City, Oakland, and Denver kind of that tier below the Chargers.
Yeah.
And it just depends on how that shakes out. I don't think Oakland wins the division. They don't have the defense to do it, but I think KC and Denver can shoot for about 9 wins and flirt with a wild card.
And then finally, Benjamin, because you have reported a little bit and tweeted a little bit about what's happening at Ohio State. The story over the weekend was that Tom Herman, this is according to an Ohio State reporter, that Tom Herman was the tipster. From your understanding, how accurate is that? How involved was Tom Herman, you know, sort of in the reporting of the Ohio State story there with Zach Smith?
Well, let me tell you this. I was told that Tom Herman's camp was behind the push to get that story going. I know that sounds kind of vague, but yeah. I don't know that Tom Herman specifically himself, I would highly doubt, as a matter of fact, that he or anyone directly associated with him was the tipster, but his camp was kind of the impetus behind that because of losing out on a recruit that they had thought they had nailed down at Texas to Ohio State. That's what I was told. All this stuff will come out as people start to report it. I think Brett McMurphy does a great job. And then there's that other guy up there that's the Ohio State alum who's really kind of done a deep dive, although some of his information appears to be incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you think, just sort of based on the information that we do have, do you think Urban Meyer is back at Ohio State, or do you think this is the end for him?
I was told about a week and a half ago that the PR machine there was kind of bracing for somewhere between a 2 and 4 game suspension. I'd say at this point you probably see Urban Meyer on a 2-game suspension,
yeah.
And that he stays at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin, man, appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you.
Not a problem at all, guys.
Yep. Great stuff.
He is Benjamin Albright, covers the NFL. He's based there in Denver. And, yeah, listen.
Much like he was high on Paxton at one time, he's been let down.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were, you know. I mean,
most of us here.
Some of us were skeptical, but I was fully like in this.
Oh, you were over the moon. You were over the moon.
And I got burned. I got burned. How about that Tom Herman story though? It is bizarre. You know, the reporting is because there's a 5-star wide receiver there, out of Texas named Garrett Wilson, who committed to Ohio State over Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporting is that Tom Herman, who was the coach at Texas, basically knew, you know, his wife was friends with Courtney Smith, and they kind of knew what was going on behind the scenes, didn't do anything about it. But now that he's losing recruits to Urban Meyer,
ooh,
he speaks up. I have a problem with that.
Would that be negative recruiting, John?
Oh, well, here's the thing. Like, you know, only when you lose a recruit to Urban Meyer does it matter that, you know, Courtney Smith was being assaulted.
If that is the case.
Yeah, correct, right. Yeah, yeah. Alleged, all that, yeah. But that's college sports in a nutshell. It only is worth, you know.
Pettiness.
It's only worth speaking up when recruits are picking somebody else. But there you go. Appreciate Benjamin Albright for joining us. We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.